All right, so diving in today, we've got this document, and the title's a bit of a mouthful, gotta say. It's called Global Everything Collapse, Economic Apocalypse, part way.
Yeah, that's certainly grabs your attention, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it's trying to make a point, right? Like, this document's trying to connect a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in the world.
Right, all these things we're seeing, like the economy feels kind of shaky, right? Politics are all over the place. And then there's all those supply chain problems, like getting stuff is just a mess sometimes.
Exactly. And the document's argument is that this isn't just, bad luck or random stuff happening.
Yeah, it's saying it's all connected, like all these problems are actually part of this bigger thing, this unraveling that's happening on purpose.
And who's behind it, according to this document? Well, they point to, big financial players, huge corporations, even intelligence agencies, and some, let's say, less visible forces within governments.
Yeah, and I think, when you first hear that kind of thing, it's easy to feel a little overwhelmed, right? Like, where do you even begin to unpack all that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the document itself even says straight up that it's dealing with some really heavy stuff. Like, they talk about this massive corporate corruption that's happening across borders, financial fraud on a huge scale, and then, this is really disturbing, the whole problem of human trafficking.
Right. So our goal in this deep dive is to sort of take it step by step, to go through the main points they're making in this first part.
Yeah, because they're claiming there's this deliberate effort to destabilize things. Like they're targeting our financial systems, our political systems, even, basic human rights.
Right, exactly. It's not just a bunch of unfortunate coincidences, is what they're saying.
Definitely not. And they're saying things like economic downturns, political gridlock, those supply chain issues we talked about is not just random chance.
Yeah, it's all coordinated, part of a bigger plan. At least that's the claim.
Right. And part one of this document, it's kind of laying the groundwork. It gives this big overview, touches on a ton of different areas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to give you an idea, we're talking Wall Street, financial markets, how the monetary system works, the Federal Reserve, the U.S. military, and the Department of Defense, even stuff about the Space Force and what they call the Secret Space Program.
And that's not even all of it, right? We've got the energy sector, pharmaceuticals, big tech, education, the food industry, real estate, religion, and even what's happening with small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so it's a lot to cover. But let's start with this idea of a deliberate collapse, right? This engineered collapse of global industries and markets. What do they actually mean by that?
Well, the core of their argument, I think, is that this whole idea of free market capitalism, which we've all kind of grown up with, it's basically an illusion.
An illusion.
Yeah. They're saying that it's been carefully crafted to look like this open competition, a level playing field. But underneath, it's all about concentrating wealth and power into the hands of this select few.
This global elite, right?
Exactly. And it's interesting because this kind of echoes those historical concerns, right? About monopolies, the idea that a few powerful entities end up controlling everything, and that stifles innovation and hurts everyone else.
Right. And they actually outline some specific mechanisms, right? Like how this concentration of power supposedly works in practice.
Yeah, so one of them is this idea of market centralization.
Market centralization. So what's that all about?
It's the idea that over time, different industries have been consolidated intentionally into the hands of just a few giant corporations.
Okay, so like fewer companies controlling more and more of the market.
Exactly. Like, think about how many brands you see out there are actually owned by the same parent company. And what they're saying is that this reduces competition, which ultimately means fewer choices for us as consumers.
Okay, yeah, I see that. And then they talk about this thing called regulatory capture, right?
Right. And that's basically the idea that the government agencies and lawmakers who are supposed to be overseeing these industries, protecting the public interest, well, they become aligned with the interests of these powerful corporations.
So instead of regulating them, they're basically working with them.
In a way, yeah. And they give examples like, former industry executives taking up roles in regulatory bodies. And that raises questions about, whose interests are really being served.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's this whole issue of corporate subsidization and bailouts, which is something we hear a lot about, right?
Yeah, the document points to this as another way the system favors the big players. So you have these massive corporations, some of them failing, and they get bailed out with taxpayer money.
Right, but smaller businesses, they often don't get that kind of help.
Exactly. And that just further tilts the playing field in favor of the already powerful. And then the final piece of this argument is what they call debt driven economic growth.
Okay, debt driven growth. So what's the problem with that?
Well, they're saying our economies are basically running on debt, and that this debt is being intentionally created.
Intentionally.
Yeah. And the idea is that this reliance on debt makes everyone dependent on the central banks and other lending institutions. It keeps people and governments in a state of financial dependence.
So it's like a trap almost.
That's what they're arguing. And the big picture they're painting is that these industries, things we usually think of as signs of progress, like technology and finance, they've been twisted into tools for control.
They actually use some pretty strong language, right? They talk about financial enslavement, surveillance, and control.
Yeah, and it's a pretty bleak picture, for sure. But let's get into some specifics. One of the areas they focus on is Wall Street and the financial markets.
Right, and their argument there is that these markets, things like stocks and bonds, aren't really operating based on supply and demand anymore.
Yeah, the invisible hand of the market. They're saying that's out the window.
Exactly. They claim these markets are being manipulated, and they talk about things like algorithmic trading, insider information, and even direct intervention by central banks.
And they get into the weeds on the types of manipulation they think are happening, like stock market inflation, for example.
Yeah. So what's that about, inflating the stock market?
Well, they're pointing to this practice called quantitative easing. You know, when central banks pump money into the economy, they're saying that artificially inflates stock prices.
So prices are going up, but not because the underlying companies are actually doing better.
Right. It's more like a bubble, they're saying, that could burst at any moment. And then there's derivative manipulation.
Derivatives. Now, those are complicated.
They are, and that's part of the problem, according to the document. They're saying these derivatives, which are basically contracts based on the value of other assets, they're so complex and interconnected that even a small problem can have a ripple effect throughout the entire financial system.
Right. And we saw that in 2008, right, with the housing crisis.
Exactly. And the document's argument is that this market is so big and opaque that it's ripe for manipulation.
Okay. Yeah. I can see how that could be a problem. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of loan and mortgage bubbles.
Right. And they point to predatory lending practices, you know, like giving out loans to people who can't really afford them. Mm. They're saying that leads to these unsustainable levels of debt and ultimately triggers these big economic crises.
Like the housing crash. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the final thing they bring up in this section is the idea of economic warfare.
Economic warfare. So what's that all about?
It's the idea that markets can be manipulated to destabilize other countries, you know, to weaken their economies, make them dependent.
So it's like a weapon.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion they draw from all of this is pretty dire. They're saying that as this whole system unravels, we should expect massive unemployment, loss of wealth, and an economic downturn unlike anything we've seen before.
So not exactly a rosy picture.
Not at all. And then they move on to this really interesting and kind of out there claim, this idea of a U.S. corporation bankruptcy.
U.S. corporation bankruptcy. Now that's a new one. What's that all about?
Well, it's the idea that the U.S. government, you know, the one we all think we know, doesn't really function as a sovereign republic.
Wait, so it's not really a government?
That's what they're saying. They're arguing it operates more like a corporation, serving the interests of global bankers and this financial elite instead of the people.
That's a pretty radical idea.
It is. And they even point to this historical event, the Act of 1871. They don't go into too much detail in this overview, but they're implying it was a turning point where the U.S. government fundamentally changed.
Okay, so what does that mean for things like the Federal Reserve and the whole political system?
Well, they're basically saying those are all part of this elaborate show, this political theater, they call it. The idea is that it maintains the illusion of democracy, but behind the scenes, it's all about serving these corporate agendas.
And they even suggest that this whole system might get replaced by central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs.
Which brings us directly to the next section, right? The monetary system and the Federal Reserve banks.
Yeah. So what's their take on that?
Well, they're pretty critical of the Federal Reserve and other central banks. They're calling them a global cartel that controls economies through fiat currency, interest rates, and debt.
So they're not fans of fiat currency.
Definitely not. They talk about how fiat currency, which isn't backed by anything tangible like gold, it has no intrinsic value. And they say that, combined with fractional reserve banking, is what leads to inflation and instability.
Fractional reserve banking. That's where banks lend out more money than they actually have, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they see that as a recipe for disaster. And then, of course, they bring up CBDCs again.
Right. And their concern is that those will just give central banks even more control.
Yeah, they're talking about total financial surveillance, tracking every transaction, basically eroding individual financial freedom.
So it's all about control. And then they shift gears a bit and start talking about U.S. institutional collapse.
Right. And this section is all about the decline of trust in government agencies and institutions.
Like the DOJ, FBI, CIA, NSA, even FEMA.
Yeah, they're saying those agencies have lost the public's trust because of corruption and a sense that they're serving the elite, not the people.
And they give some examples, right? Like the DOJ and FBI being weaponized against political opponents.
Exactly. And then there's the CIA and NSA with all the surveillance and FEMA's mishandling of crises like Hurricane Katrina and COVID.
So it's a pretty damning indictment of those agencies.
It is. And they even extend this critique to the medical establishment. They're talking about corporate influence, censorship of alternative treatment, and a focus on profit over health.
So they're not buying into the mainstream narrative on health either.
Definitely not. And then we get to U.S. foreign aid and U.S. aid.
And what's their take on that?
They're saying that foreign aid, which is often presented as this humanitarian effort, is actually a tool for economic subversion and regime change.
So it's not really about helping people.
They're claiming it's more about advancing U.S. interests. And they allege connections between USAID and covert operations, funding opposition groups and things like that.
And then there's this claim that a lot of that aid money disappears.
Yeah, they say it ends up in offshore accounts and black budget programs.
Yeah.
And they make this point about the contrast between all that spending on foreign intervention and the declining state of infrastructure here in the U.S.
So they're saying we're neglecting our own problems while we're meddling in other countries' affairs.
That's their argument. And then they move on to the banking and financial industry again.
And what's the verdict there?
Well, they're predicting a global banking collapse. They're saying the system is insolvent, rife with fraud, and headed for disaster.
So it's even worse than we thought.
That's what they're saying. They talk about bail-ins, where banks can just take depositors' money to save themselves.
And that's already happening in some countries, right? Like Cyprus.
Exactly. They're saying it could become the norm. And they bring up fractional reserve lending and derivatives again, saying those are huge risks to the system.
So the whole financial system is basically a house of cards, according to them.
That's the picture they're painting. And then they get into this idea of banks being weaponized against political dissenters.
So like freezing accounts and stuff?
Yeah, and they tie that back to CBDCs, saying those would give governments even more control over people's finances.
So they're seeing CBDCs as this ultimate tool of financial repression.
Exactly. And then we move on to the military-industrial complex.
The MIC, yeah. What's their take on that?
They're saying it thrives on war. That the huge U.S. military budget is more about enriching defense contractors than protecting the country.
So it's all about profit.
That's their argument. They even suggest that wars are deliberately engineered, you know, through propaganda and false flag operations.
And they point to the expansion into space and cyber warfare as further evidence of this.
Right. They're seeing that as just another way to justify more military spending. And then they delve into the U.S. military and the Department of Defense specifically.
Okay, so what's their take on the DOD?
They're saying it's this massive black hole with trillions of dollars unaccounted for in black budget programs.
So no transparency, no accountability.
Exactly. And they express concern about the militarization of domestic law enforcement and even talk about potential scenarios for domestic military deployment.
So they're seeing a threat from within as well.
Yeah. And then they bring up the Space Force and secret space operations.
So they're going full conspiracy theory now.
Well, they're suggesting that the Space Force is a cover for this much older, highly classified program. They talk about advanced technologies, anti-gravity propulsion, even off-world bases.
Wow, it's a lot to unpack.
It is. They also talk about the suppression of free energy technologies and interstellar travel capabilities.
So, like, we could be out there exploring the stars, but they're keeping it all secret.
That's what they're suggesting. And they connect this to the whole UAP phenomenon, saying any future disclosures will be carefully controlled.
So they're not optimistic about transparency there either.
Not really.
Yeah.
And then they shift to the energy and oil industry.
Okay. What's their take on that?
They're claiming that free energy technologies are being suppressed.
So, like, we could have clean, unlimited energy, but someone's preventing it.
That's the argument. They mention inventors like Tesla and Meyer, whose work was allegedly confiscated or shut down.
And they're saying the suppression is about maintaining control over the global economy, right?
Exactly. They're saying the oil and gas industries want to keep their grip on power. And they connect this to the current energy crisis, saying it's engineered to push for digital rationing and government control.
So they're seeing this as a manufactured crisis.
That's their claim. And then we get to the pharmaceutical and medical industry.
And what's their perspective on Big Pharma?
Pretty critical. They're saying the industry prioritizes profit over health, sustains illness instead of curing it, and suppresses natural healing.
So they're not fans of mainstream medicine.
Definitely not. They highlight alleged corruption between Big Pharma, government agencies, and the media, particularly during COVID.
So they're questioning the whole narrative around the pandemic.
Yeah. And they raise concerns about future pandemics, mRNA modifications, and digital health surveillance.
So they're seeing this as a trend towards more control over our health.
Exactly. And then they move on to the technology industry.
Big tech, right? What's their take on that?
They're saying it's a global control mechanism through big tech, AI, and surveillance networks.
So it's not just about convenience and innovation.
They're saying it's about control.
Yeah.
Talk about AI censorship, predictive policing, the transhumanist agenda.
And of course, they bring up CBDCs again, right?
Oh, yeah. They see those as a key part of this. They're talking about biometric IDs, social credit systems, a digital prison.
So it's all very dystopian.
Very much so. And then they discuss the education system.
Okay, what's their perspective on that?
They're saying it's an indoctrination machine designed to produce obedience and compliance, not critical thinking.
So they're not happy with the way we're educating kids.
Not at all. They talk about control by globalist institutions, suppression of free speech, a lack of intellectual diversity.
And they're concerned about AI and classrooms and brain interface technologies.
Right. They're seeing a move towards even more control over what people think and believe. And then we get to the food industry.
Okay, so what's their take on that?
They're claiming that it's being manipulated to create dependency on centralized systems, making people vulnerable to control.
So it's not just about feeding people.
They're saying it's about power. They mentioned GMOs, pesticides, engineered scarcity, and the pushing out of independent farmers.
So they're advocating for more localized food systems?
Yeah, seems like that. And they're concerned about lab-grown meat, insect protein, AI-controlled agriculture, and digital food rationing.
So they're seeing a future where we have very little control over what we eat.
Exactly. And then we get to the U.S. real estate industry.
Okay, what's their take on that?
They're claiming the market is being deliberately destabilized to allow a select elite to consolidate land and housing ownership.
So it's not just about supply and demand.
They're saying it's manipulated. They point to firms like BlackRock and Vanguard, saying they're buying up properties and driving up prices.
And they see this leading to smart cities and government-controlled housing, right?
Yeah, they're talking about the elimination of private property and digital ID-linked housing systems.
So they're seeing a future where we don't even own our own homes.
That's their concern. And then they discuss the religious system.
Religion, what's their perspective on that?
It's pretty critical. They're suggesting that religious institutions have been hijacked for control and profit.
So they're not buying into organized religion.
They're alleging money laundering, tax evasion, ties to elite banking, and even connections to human trafficking.
Wow, that's heavy.
It is. And they encourage people to reject institutionalized religion and find their own spiritual path.
So it's all about individual connection, not following the dogma.
That seems to be their message. And then they touch on product and service industries more broadly.
Okay, what's their take on that?
They're saying global supply chains are being intentionally disrupted to transition to a digital AI-controlled economy.
So it's all part of this bigger plan for control, right?
That's their argument. They're talking about CBDCs, AI-controlled commerce, social credit-based purchasing, and digital rationing.
So they're seeing a future where our choices are extremely limited.
That's the picture they're painting. And finally, they talk about small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Okay, what's happening with them?
They're saying they're being crushed by inflation, regulations, and corporate monopolization.
So it's tough to be a small business these days.
They're saying it's deliberate, that the goal is to eliminate competition and force dependency on megacorporations.
So it's all part of this larger trend towards centralization and control?
Exactly. So that's global everything collapse in a nutshell. It's a pretty bleak picture. But they're urging people to wake up, see what's happening, and take action.
And of course, we need to remember that this is just one perspective.
Right. It's important to get information from multiple sources and form your own opinions. But this document definitely raises some important questions.
So for our listeners out there, what part of this global everything collapse idea resonates with you the most?
And what steps are you taking or thinking about taking to navigate these complex issues? It's a lot to think about, but it's worth considering.
Absolutely. Thanks for diving into this with us.
And keep exploring.